C1PR. Number 21B.
And so she comes to the last point and says, all right, at that point we can pray aright. See, right, it takes quite a long time until at least she comes to the point and says, well, how can we pray aright now? It is all one big preparation, preparation, preparation. So the point of truth is love, where she says, now I show you, I summarize to you the preparation of how to pray aright, so that in the last prayer, in the last prayer of love, you do pray aright. In order to come to truth as love, in order to pray aright, we would like to know how to pray aright. But in order to pray aright, something must first be fulfilled. To pray aright, she shows in the last subject, in the Lord's Prayer. That's praying aright. But in order to be able to pray aright, consciousness must be cleansed fully. We come now to truth of love, consciousness which is fully fulfilled. In order to fully spiritualize consciousness, in order to silence fully any false voice in us, she says, these points have to be accomplished or have to be seen. And she gives seven stages. Says, first, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. She has here a lot of musts, six musts, and then the last tone is no more a must. That's then the answer. You see, she says, you must make a mental effort. She picks up that scriptural text which we had in Truth of Life, and says, that method which I have presented there, that method of going into the sanctuary, which I have presented, that must be consciously fulfilled. So I must do it. I must act. I must make a mental effort and comply with that method of prayer. Second, we must close the lips and silence the material senses. And in the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we come to the closet of spirit. The closet of spirit where we silence materialism and where we have audience with spirit. In the silent sanctuary of earnest longing. We must deny sin and plead God's holiness. That's what we have seen in the third prayer. It's always the third which comes, which rebukes sin, which takes a definite stand against sin. But also, it is the yea and the nay. It is also affirming, pleading God's holiness, affirming God's holiness. Then she comes to the fourth. We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. That we had that so clearly, that honesty, you see, that honest resolve of doing things in the fourth prayer. We must go and do it and resolve to do it with honest heart. Then she comes to a fifth prayer, requirement, namely, we must pray without ceasing. Must be of the nature of life. It must be a constant attitude. Not just here and there a prayerful attitude. It is a constant attitude. That's a prayer. Our whole life really should be one big prayer. Our whole day's life should be one big prayer. Man is prayer. We can see that, you see, God can be expounded through the 16 aspects of the matrix. But man reflects God, so man reflects the matrix. It's a reflection of the matrix. Prayer is the first stone in the matrix, the first of the 16 stones in the matrix. So man must reflect that stone, and man must be a prayer. One aspect of man must be prayer. Our being must be one prayer. Our being must be one glorification of God. That's the prayer. Here she comes and says, must be a constant prayer. Just showing that prayer isn't something which we say, well, to be a good Christian, really, I think every morning I should say my prayers. Or to be a good Christian, I think before I go to bed, I should pray. That's not a constant prayer. Our whole attitude, how we behave ourselves, how we do and laugh and talk to each other and be with each other and express ourselves to each other and so on, that should be a prayer. And it will be a prayer the more we imbibe and imbibe these subjects here. What a difference that will make. And to say, well, I will pray over it tomorrow or this evening or then. Against the constant prayer, that constant consciousness of praising God and of glorifying God, of magnifying God. So she goes on and says to the sixth, such prayer is answered. No, that's really the seventh. And then comes the sixth, in so far as we put our desires into practice. You see, grammar never obeys the divine order, or the divine order doesn't obey grammar. Here grammar doesn't obey it. But we could make it obey by just putting the sentence the other way. We could say, and in so far as we put our desires into practice, see, that's entering into the closet, we claim our prayer. We put it into practice and claim it. In so far as we do that, that's the sixth point, prayer is answered. The seventh. So the Master's injunction is that we pray in secret, and let our lives attest our sincerity. So our whole prayer is an inward attitude. Our state of prayer is a secret inward attitude. Nobody can see it. Whatever we look like, nobody can see the inward prayerful attitude. If that inward prayerful attitude is a right prayer, a scientific prayer, or no prayer at all, or a false prayer, it's in secret. But let our life attest our sincerity. Because in the measure as the inward is cultured, and we have seen the fourth prayer shows that we only pray aright in the fourth prayer when every phase of our being, our expression, our outward and inward expression, our motives and aims, our theory and practice, all that, when that is completely in concordance with one another, completely in conformity with one another. So that is the point, therefore, where the inward cannot help being shown as the outward, can sound through the outward. And so we come to the end of this tone. Now, how would we summarize this sixth chapter? We could perhaps say, well, it is the prayer... The sixth subject, not the sixth chapter. The sixth subject. It's the prayer of consciousness means really first going... means that we go consciously to the Father as Spirit, to life in and of Spirit. And consciously going to the Father as life in and of spirit is prayer. It's the sixth prayer, is embodying the Father in and of spirit, is manifesting and demonstrating the Father in and of spirit. So consciously going to the Father really means affirming the Father and denying any sense, any false sense of God. It is the prayer of spiritual consciousness. Become conscious, you see, it's the prayer of spiritual consciousness through the affirmation of spiritual facts and the denial of erroneous senses. That's what truth, the claim of truth demands in the at the point of prayer. How did in the through the seven subtones Tao show us the sequence, the working out of this sense? See, we said she starts in by saying that the world of error is ignorant of the world of truth. So she starts by saying, really, that error or erroneous consciousness can never know the consciousness of truth. There are two worlds apart. That's mind. Says, therefore, in order to know the right consciousness, the true consciousness, we have to make a decision. We come to spirit. That decision is to take, to be with the Lord, and not to be with the body. To be with the Lord and to be absent from matter. To be governed by spirit, not to be governed by matter. To be consciously with the spiritual facts and not to be conscious of the material things. What does that do? It comes to the subtone of soul. What does that do if I'm conscious of the spiritual facts? Well, being conscious of the spiritual fact is superior. It rules over the material concept. The spiritual consciousness rules the material consciousness. And by ruling the material consciousness, it rules out material consciousness, therefore changes the body, changes sorrow into happiness, brings about changes. Through the change of consciousness, the outward manifestation change. Alright, if I begin to see that, I see alright, because the higher rules the lower, that ruling gives me dominion. And therefore, partaking of the ruling of soul, I begin to be partake of the authority and dominion of principle. And I come to principle. Where this rule of soul reveals to me more and more with every time this rule of I rule with soul, every time that rule is applied, I begin to feel more and more dominion and authority. And I come to truth as principle. And as I begin to see that it changes through that dominion the whole earth, you see, that it sounds through every detail, through the whole earth. Earth is also defined as the compound idea. Shows that this rule of soul is a principled rule, and therefore it sounds through every detail, governs every detail. That dominion shows itself as what? And I come to life as an infinite opening of the floodgates of heaven. The Father will reward you openly. The moment I come in the subtones of life, to the subtone of life, something opens up in heaven. The heaven is open. I come to the fullness. The blessing comes down to me. And so I see, the Father will reward you openly. What is this reward? Will it be an auto car? Or what will it be? And it says, now the reward will be truth. Reward will be that it washes away in us the erring senses, that it washes away in, that it silences in us the voice of the sinful senses, so that I only hear the angel sing. That's my reward. It isn't an auto car, I'm sorry. It's sublime, something sublime, but something much more satisfying. And so, she says, if I stick to all that what I have said in these six subtones, then in order, if I stick to that, I begin to be prepared. That prepares me to pray aright, and that gives me the answer. And your prayer is answered in so far as we put these six subtones into practice. In so far, prayer is answered. And for the first time, I get the sense, oh, now I get the answer. What is the answer? What is the answer? And the answer we get in the seventh prayer then, in the prayer of love. So can you see the sequence, that the working out of the sense of duality the moment we come to consciousness? In the sixth day, duality is silent, and the one consciousness is fulfilled and present. Now, shall we stop here?